AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Welcome back, Sven Sundgaard. Bring me the news, extraordinaire weatherman. Forecastissold.com, forecastissold.com/weather. Forecastissold.com/weather. That's where you can find all of his great weather information. He's kind enough to join us today to talk about the latest in weather here in the state of Minnesota. Hey, Sven.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I want to start off, though, with an interesting tidbit you shared yesterday's forecast at the very beginning about the 1918 fires that happened in Minnesota and your grandparents having a very close call with that. They ended up getting into one of the lakes to survive.
Yeah, so my great-grandmother.
Great-grandmother.
She grew up in Moose Lake, and you know, fun fact, you know, where the prison is there on the south side of Moosehead Lake, that was our family farm. Yeah, before there was a prison.
Okay, yeah.
nobody in my family lived at the prison, as far as I know. But yeah, the fires in 1918, a lot of people know or have confused the two with Hinckley. Those are separate devastating fire events. The Hinckley fire was about 20 years earlier. I believe in the 1890s, but in 1918, Moose Lake had a huge fire. It was a very dry fall and hot start to October, and they think it was sparks from, you know, the Soo Line train helped to ignite a fire, and, you know, it actually helped to regulate train travel in the region, and I think nationally as a result, because there are enough of these fires starting. But 453 people died. And yeah, my grandmother and my great grandmother and her family survived. A lot of people, you've heard many of these stories, survived by jumping in that lake and waiting out the fire. And it missed their farm, but devastated. I mean, even in 1918, millions of dollars worth of damage was done.
Mm-hmm. And that was that 1918. And there was a book we talked about 1918. Not only did they have the flu outbreak, then they also had World War One going on, but as well, that was one of many fires. There was fires all over the state that year, and as you said, it's the rail lines were usually the suspect, and it made them come back out and saying, you need to make sure that we don't have this fire potential with these railroad lines. There was a lot more regulation after that.
Yeah, this was, I think, a full month before the armistice was signed. So World War One was still going on, and as you mentioned, the flu pandemic, it was a tough time. Period. Plus, my great grandmother was one of 16 children. So, big families, lots of stress. You know, people died of simpler things.
My grandparents were on a lake during the Armistice Day blizzard when that came through.
Oh wow!
And they were out in a canoe, and my grandfather saw it coming across the lake, rowed as quick to shore. They ended up flipping the canoe over on top of them, and that's how they survived it. Was, you know, they were luckily dressed. They had enough with them that they were dressed for the weather, but they were able, they barely got through it. So sometimes, you know, these close calls, I mean, they were major events that happened, and it's, some of the close call stories you hear are amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, we take for granted the fact that we have, you know, people make fun of weather forecasts and that, but how accurate they are and how, you know, surprises like an Armistice Day blizzard, and just our fire prevention techniques. You know, we have a lot of devastating fires in the West because of climate change, but we've come a long way at preventing needless fires. You know, and even in California, you know, now people complain they turn the power off, but learning that that was a source of the Paradise fires, you know, potentially the electrical lines, you know, we just, if we can turn them off on windy, hot, dry days, and prevent a devastating fire when we have the conditions are ripe, you know, it makes a big difference.
Well, when you have weather that takes those big swings like that, my dad always used to call it the Dakota weather because they get that a lot more out there where you have big swings.
Yeah.
But you talk about it, it's close. I'm not comfortable with this in October anymore. It's close, but out in Sturgis, out in the western part of South Dakota, they got hammered with snow.
Yeah, and this is normal for the Black Hills to get snow in October, even sometimes September, because remember, it's higher elevations. It's the foothills of the Rockies. It's basically where the Rockies end. But yeah, they ended up with 27.5 inches in Deadwood, South Dakota. And Sturgis got a lot of snow. And all the higher elevations areas of Wyoming and western Colorado. This was the first real snowstorm of the season for most of those areas.
It reminded me, what was the date of the snowstorm last year in October?
October 20th. It was a week from yesterday, a year ago.
we're still damaged from that one that happened in 91, because anytime I hear snow in October, I kind of like, no, no, you cannot do that to us again.
No one will ever let that die. And then this year, especially because it's the 30-year anniversary, you're going to hear a lot of stuff about it. You know, my boyfriend, we've been together 8 years. He's from, born and raised in California, has lived here for 7 years now, and he thinks it's hilarious how, you know, as an outside observer, everybody has their Halloween blizzard story. He just laughs at it.
Oh, it will happen to him. It will happen. You are going to live here long enough. It will happen to you. One of these weather things will get you, and all of a sudden you'll be part of that continuum here in Minnesota. So, you had mentioned to me, we here, of course, did not get snow. We are getting our first bit of cold, but because of the heat we had in the first part of this month, that 2021 now has jumped from the ninth warmest year to the fifth warmest year on record.
Yeah, and that's significant, because we're talking about comparing ourselves with the top 10 warmest years out of 149 years. To jump four places, you know, it's just another symptom of how warm it has been these first 2 weeks of October, because I think it's easy for us, you know, I've told many people I would love to do, you know, team up with some psychologists to do the psychological studies on climate change, because it's a gradual warming overall with ups and downs, but the trend line and all those extremes follow a slow upward progression. We kind of get used to it, you know, and because it's coming off of summer and we haven't had any cold weather, I don't think we fully grasp just how warm this first half of the month has been, because we haven't had any cool weather, which just sort of an extension of summer. You look at the calendar, you're like, yeah, it's October. This is odd. But we also get warm days in October sometimes, but not this consistent warmth. So the first, we've never had the first third of October, the first 10, 11 days of the month, all be above 70 degrees. We have been 90 degrees before in October, obviously not this year. We didn't even hit 80 this month. In October, close last week at 79, but not quite. But again, it's the running theme I want people to think about. You and I have talked about this many times through the summer. It's not the extremes. It's the fact that the heat is consistent and persistent. That's how we beat 1987 for the hottest summer. And that's how, you know, we are outpacing other years. So to move from the ninth warmest, at the end of September, to now the fifth warmest solely because of this heat at the beginning of October, is significant. You know, we still have a fifth of the year to go, so we could change again. Who knows what could happen if we have a disruption of the polar vortex, which nerds in the meteorological world are watching the polar vortex, because it could do something interesting. If it does, it'll be really early for that, and that could lead to some cold somewhere. But, you know, we don't know yet what's going to happen in November, December. But, yeah, so far the third warmest start to October, that's already settled no matter what happens basically tonight and tomorrow. This will be the third warmest first half of the month of October. And again, we'll see what the second half does. But if we plug in the numbers by the middle point of each month, I like to plug in the forecast numbers and get an idea of where we could end up. And right now we're on pace to be the ninth warmest October, which would be our fifth month. Now think of it. Out of 10 months this year, our fifth month that would be in the top 20 warmest months. So half of our months this year have been in the top 20. So then you look at all those things combined. Yeah, you know, fifth warmest year on record is not all that difficult to comprehend. And I mean, really, the only cold we had this year was 10 days in February and about a 10-day period in April and May. That's been it.
And it should be a reminder to everyone, how many total years are we looking at here? When you say in the top 20, why is, you know, it's there is 100 some, how many?
149
years. Wow. And so, yeah.
And basically, when you look at the top 20 of everything, half of them are all since 2000, which is a staggering number that, you know, even though the 2000s only make up 20 years of our data, it's half of our warmest months and years, basically. So, I mean, it's an undeniable trend.
Well, you get to be more Johnny Sunshine in your weather forecast because you bring up the fact that even though we got some rain here in the metro area, and you bring up the fact it's fickle because you go to some places and they've actually picked up enough rain to actually dismiss a good chunk of the drought. But in the Twin Cities metro area, it is we are now starting to climb back up into that real nasty dry again where we're near 6 inches behind right now.
We're almost back to six. As of yesterday, it was 5.88. After tomorrow, we'll be back at a 6-inch deficit, which is disheartening. But, you know, I've talked about this a few times in our last few calls in the last several weeks, that the rain has been fickle. It's the only way to really mention it like you did. We had some good rains in August and the beginning of September, but now it's like the faucet's off and we're into these dry periods and we're headed into a time of year where you just don't get 1-2 inch rainfalls. Mm-hmm. There's just not as much moisture because it's not as warm. And if anything, you get large snowfalls potentially, but not with a lot of water content. And yeah, so after Labor Day, we were only 2.79 inches behind. So we had gone from 6.3 inches behind at the very beginning of August and made up all that, you know, deficit, but now we're back to almost 6 inches. But it is complicated. St. Cloud, for example, is only about 3.8 inches behind. And Eau Claire, Wisconsin, is at a surplus. So most of Wisconsin is at a surplus or right at normal. And we could see this pattern play out where the summer started dry in Wisconsin, too, but they got wet. And then that moisture kind of spread, that wetter pattern spread west for a time to reach us by August, you know, and remember northern and northwestern Minnesota was still suffering, but we weren't. And now northwestern Minnesota is starting to make some progress. It's the only part of the state where the drought monitor changed in the last week. More of northwestern Minnesota was taken out of severe drought. So some good news. And our drought monitor is unchanged. So we've got to explain the drought monitor a little bit. The drought monitor is geared towards crops and vegetation.
Yeah.
So we don't see a change here much because we're also seeing a lower sun angle. The sun angle is not as strong. It's cooler, so there's less evaporation. So that top soil content, moisture content, isn't changed as much. But when we look, the deficit gives us the bigger picture of how much water do we need in the ground, you know, to make up groundwater, aquifers. And you notice the grass is much greener around here. Well, that's more of a function of the temperatures are cooler, so the grass doesn't literally get fried. And we do have moisture in the top couple inches. But if you were to dig down a foot or so, you're going to run into some very dry ground as a result of this almost half foot deficit we have.
And when you talk about, you know, as you brought up, I mean, this is not the rainy season. I mean, October, November, December. If I'm not mistaken, I think a while back you had mentioned that when you do get precipitation in the fall, it generally is like these snowstorms where it's all being dumped at once. It comes down very quickly. It's not something, you know, I mean, I don't know what the most amount of snow. I don't want another blizzard. I don't want another
Halloween blizzard. Halloween blizzard still is in the books. Is our biggest snowstorm ever, for fall or winter. Yep.
Well, and so the question is, I mean, is there anything on the extended models? And I know you're not a big fan of those, but anything that's showing that we could get any kind of rain like that, or at least 2-3 inches?
No, you know, nothing like that. All the operational models we have paint rain, basically. And this has been kind of what we've seen for months, which is why I don't get excited about it, is, you know, most of our medium range forecast models that can give us that day-to-day picture go out anywhere from 10 to 16 days. And all of them have, once you get to the end, that day 9 or 10, some rain. And they've just consistently done this. You know, an example is a couple days ago, it looked like we'd have rain here maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, now that's fizzling out. Mm-hmm. They got the big snow in South Dakota. And North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota got a lot of moisture. And they did need it there more than we did, of course. But we got almost nothing yesterday. It was pitiful. You could watch the bands of showers reach us and just fizzle out because we were mostly in the dry slot of this storm system. Once you get a big, powerful storm like that, it can do crazy stuff somewhere. But it also, because it's such a deep low, it's also sucking in a substantial amount of dry air so that if you're in that dry slot of the storm, you also get really nothing. So it magnifies the extremes, basically. But the moisture was just all well north and west of us.
You had mentioned the polar vortex, and you and I had talked about this too. How it kind of it seems like it breaks apart, and there's these globules that come down. You posted on Twitter a little early this week that Europe, it kind of sucks to be them right now because it sounds like one of those globules has gone down, turning Europe into a pretty cold stretch right now.
Yeah, not quite the polar vortex, but they've been seeing some chillier than normal temperatures, something that is nothing like what we've seen. So while it is, you know, like today, I just finished a run. This is the first time this fall I've been legit chilled, you know, not in the early morning. That's different. But in the middle of the afternoon, this is the first time it's really been cool. We didn't get out of the 50s today. We won't tomorrow either. So that's the first time this season. It's also the latest ever in a season that we've had to wait for that first day below 60 degrees. So yet another record.
No, and you know it. But you also, as I said, and we should get into the weather we're looking at here. Monday we're going to be back up into the 70s again.
Yeah, it looks pretty warm Monday. It does look short lived. Models are kind of differing, but we are going to cool off again late next week. One of the models, the American models, has us only in the 40s for high, so that's some legit chilly weather, but yeah, Totally normal for late October to have that. But if it gets that cold, then we could finally be looking at our first frost in the metro just before Halloween. But it would literally take that to do it. And I should say that the consensus of the models is that we won't get that cold. But it will be probably our coolest air yet. That's not hard to do, though, because today, topping out probably around 56, very similar tomorrow. And as cool as it feels, the normal high is 58.
Yeah.
So this is actually not cold. It's just kind of pathetic. But it is going to set us up for many places. If you're outside of the metro, you will see probably your first at least patchy frost early as Saturday and Sunday mornings. Okay. So, again, the urban heat island in the metro, I think, will stay right at 40. But if you're in the outer, you know, suburbs or close to the 494, 694, you know, in Eden Prairie, let's say Maple Grove, you could be looking at, you know, 38, 39 degrees early in the morning. But outside of that, that's where we're looking at very close to frost. Places like St. Cloud, which hasn't had it yet, and they normally would have a couple weeks ago. And most of southern Minnesota outside of the metro.
Well, last quick thing here. I know it's 17 days out. Halloween, are the kids going to be... Are they going to be wearing the winter coats over their costumes?
Good question. That's way out there still.
Too bad. Okay.
I would. My hunch would be that it's not going to be a cold day.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. But that's also the latest we've ever hit 80 on record is October 31st. That's the latest 80 degree reading. So that's always possible.
I didn't mean to. It's a reach. I know you're not a big fan of the long terms, but you know, it is starting to. We are getting to that point, and I can't tell you how many times I went out trick or treating as a kid wearing full winter gear. So.
Oh, totally. What I will say is at least the trend is right now and looking ahead is that we've been ridiculously. You know, I've talked about we've been cooling off relative to normal, so that you know we've been staying consistently 5-10 degrees above average. Well, the average is dropping quickly this time of year, no matter what. So no matter what, October is going to be a month of transition, even in a hot year, because there's less sunlight and the Arctic is getting dark and there's cold air developing. And so it does appear that that anomaly is starting to tighten up. It is getting a little closer to normal. So instead of being, you know, 10 degrees above normal like we have this first half of the month, we're maybe only 4, 5, 6 degrees above normal here for the second half of October, which would put us – you know, more in the 50s and low 60s. So getting to be a little more realistic temperatures probably.
Forecastissold.com/weather. Forecastissold.com/weather. I'll link to that. The YouTube page as well. Bring me the news as well. Sven Sundgaard. Sven, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
You bet you. And I will be doing a winter forecast at some point here in the coming weeks. Enough people have requested it where I'm like, okay, fine. I'm not going to give you a day-by-day account, of course, but, you know, generally, what can we expect?
All right. I'll link to that when you get that out there. I appreciate that.
All right.
Take care. Sven Sundgaard, once again, the best news, the best weather guy here in town, hands down. Best weather guy here in town, hands down. Bringthenews.com, forecastissold.com/weather. We'll take a break. Final segment. When we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.